What I have on my mind this morning is I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews first. But it's really something, the subject is really something that is a hole in my life. It's something that's been missing for the most part. I wouldn't say completely, I don't think. Lord blesses me in this to have this particular feeling and emotion within me by His grace. But in living my life, sometimes I forget this, and so there may be others that do as well. So please continue to pray. I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews, like I said, in the 11th chapter. And the 7th verse says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So Noah, he was warned of God. Paul mentions here, reminds us of things that not seen as yet. But so what did Noah do? He moved with fear. Now here there is some both of the word fear, of being fearful, afraid of something and all, but there's more reverence. And that's what I want to talk about today. Some is reverence, a reverence of God that we should have for God, that I don't so much. Again in Hebrews, in the next chapter, 12th chapter, the last verse of chapter 12, verse 28, says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The only other place where this word, this particular Greek word, which translates to reverence here, is used is in 2 Timothy, and it speaks of reverence. And what this word, the words that stand out with this word reverence here, is downcast eyes and shamefacedness. And it describes the modest apparel in 2 Timothy that women should wear. And that's the only other place in God's Word that this word is used. But it's how we should serve God acceptably as well, with reverence and godly fear. Now that word fear there is, of course, reverence and caution. Which I feel, I don't know how different your feelings are than mine when I come to church, when I'm preparing for church, when I'm praying in preparation for church, whatever day of the week that might be or what time of day, I know my responsibility. And I have a different perspective in that responsibility. I think it has saved me many times, that responsibility. But I live so much of my life within the mercy of God that I forget His reverence. and to revere him and fear him. And yet he is so merciful to us and gracious that I forget that. And yet he still blesses. It amazes me. I don't know your personal feelings with that in your lives. But in all the things that I am to preach to you, to teach you, I'd fall so short if I did not counsel you to revere God and to fear him in all that we do. In all that we do. And I see that. I see that in people bearing, as children of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. But Noah did that. I believe it's the 7th chapter of Genesis. The 7th chapter of Genesis, the first verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He knew Noah. God knew Noah. He knows Noah right now. He foreknew Noah. And he saw the righteousness of Jesus Christ in Noah. But that generation was wicked then. And I'm not going to go and read it, but they were completely wicked, not thinking one thought of God. And to where he repented that he had created man. But yet he saw, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And so Noah did this work. And let me go to the 8th chapter, around the 20th verse. So here it says, and Noah builded an altar after the floods subsided and land appeared and so forth after the flood. And so at that point, then Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So Noah did this. He builded an altar here, sacrificed, and all, in reverence and fear to God is how he did this. He respected God. He was a sinner. He's a sinner saved by grace, by Jesus Christ, just like you and I. He was no more special in that respect. So the Lord God Almighty chose him. He foreknew him. And then he saw that he was righteous in this generation. And so he called on him to build this ark. It took so many years to build that far away from any ocean, never having rained and so forth. So God blessed Noah to exercise his faith in that. Would that I could serve God, certainly here, certainly now, in service, in the sanctuary, as gathered as the church, would that I could serve God the same way that Noah did, in reverence and godly fear. And we're told to do that. As we assemble ourselves, we're told to do that. And certainly here, but also in my life, out there. The same way. I should revere God the same way. And I know the blessings in that. I know the peace. I know the turmoil and strife and tribulation of not doing that. And yet that would I do. Yeah. Remember the Apostle Paul. That would I do. That's us. And then we fall on his mercy again. But in doing that, let's not forget his reverence. He's a jealous God, exclusive. He demands exclusiveness in his worship. And to cast all of our idols aside. So he demands that. But let's remember that as we serve him. But and even in his mercy, as I preach, not I believe in the within the last year, that in his mercy, I don't see weakness there, that he lets someone get away with something without punishment. There's great power in mercy. God draws upon that infinite power that he has, the eternal power, and bestows mercy upon us. And other times, he gives us in love what we deserve, gives us that. Now, in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, First Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Then this 11th verse, David says, Thine, O Lord, and he lists out some things here. Is that thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All those things, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. This is who we revere. This is who I should envision. Even at that point when God is bestowing mercy upon me, I should realize that this is the God that we revere. Certainly, he deserves all the praise, honor, and glory in our lives. If I do nothing but be still and know that he is God then and give him that reverence then that is what he deserves. And I should do that. And in that, we're given peace. Otherwise, Brother Eric prayed that God would bless us, that we're not anxious. We don't have the anxiety overcoming us and the fear and all. And that happens to all of us. And that happens to all of us. And so then we're brought to that point where we beg for that presence, that close presence of God, that he might give us the rest that we don't deserve as we give him the fear and reverence that he does deserve. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now I'm going to jump to the 16th verse. He says here, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house, this temple, Solomon's temple, for thine holy name, all this store that we have prepared to build this house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand. And is all thine own. Everything they have is from him in the first place. That's us. Anything we have to give him has come from him. Anything worthy for his acceptance, that savor of that altar sacrificed by Noah, For it to be a sweet-smelling savor to God, that it had to be touched by Him, and the sacrifices came from Him. Those beasts there that were sacrificed were saved by Him. They were created by Him. Just in six, seven short chapters after that, the fall of man is when that took place. Now, I know a lot can happen in that time period, but it didn't take mankind long to do that. And man is the one that did it. God did not cause any of that. But here, what a simple and yet just a resounding statement here in this that it says everything cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Now in Psalm 29, I believe it. I think it's Psalm 29. Yes, 29th Psalm, the first verse in that psalm. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. That's it's in this acceptable service as it says over in Romans, this reasonable service that we serve Him and with the sacrifices that we offer to Him that are given to us by God. Then He is due them. And that, probably the most difficult, one of the most difficult things in my life is to have that frame of mind of reverence and godly fear all the time. And I could certainly blame it on others. Well, this group here or those people that just make me so angry whatever the subject may be in disagreement with me. It's me. I have that. I need to have that reverence of God and godly fear even at those points. To me, if everything is going so well and I'm at peace, He's blessing me abundantly and all, and I acknowledge my respect and reverence for Him and my godly fear, then yes, I should. But how more so in tribulation that I do that, that I acknowledge that, that is due Him. It's due Him. He deserves it. And He demands it. He demands it. And yet we don't feel the wrath here. We certainly won't eternally, because Jesus Christ did. He felt it. Now in the fourth chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, the 11th verse, I think is all I want here, says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. It's all for Him. We are for Him. We're made for Him in His glory. And we show that reverence to Him in our lives. We acknowledge His great power. I didn't read the rest of the sentence there in Hebrews chapter 12, but it says that because our God is a consuming fire. Yes, I fear, and Noah feared Him really in a couple of different ways, certainly in reverence, but that, and in shamefulness, shamefacedness, eyes cast down, that kind of reverence to God. I can't even, I'm not even worthy to look upon thee. But also the fear, knowing what God is. He is a consuming fire, our God, it said there in Hebrews in the 13th chapter, the 29th verse. And so in knowing that, then his love to me, and that doesn't scare me. It doesn't. It never did scare me into joining the church to use the wrath of God to scare someone into joining a denomination or the church, so forth. Just so wrong. But it, to me, it shows the love of God, because then I, knowing what he can do and has done, but does not do now. No. And Malachi, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That consuming fire. Do I deserve it? Yeah. Do I deserve it eternally? Yes. But Jesus Christ, I have faith in Jesus Christ that I will not be the recipient of that perfect, just, righteous wrath of God Almighty. Because Jesus Christ, that'd be double jeopardy. Jesus Christ took that punishment there and then sacrificed himself. Thou art worthy, O Lord. If I could remember even just that verse, that part of that verse there, as I try to revere him and fear him with godly fear in my life, just remember, thou art worthy, Lord. Just think upon that. Now I'm going to jump to Leviticus, I think the 19th chapter of Leviticus. And as I mentioned, of all places, I should revere him with godly, have reverence and godly fear toward him in this place. Gathered as the church, wherever that may be. I think we have to go to some temple somewhere, a building, a structure somewhere, as they used to have to go. And you had the tabernacle and then the temple there in Jerusalem and so forth. But in Leviticus chapter 19, the 30th verse, he says here, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Reverence my sanctuary. This is a building here, and we know that. And human beings are so prone to cross over one line or another. We're to reverence his sanctuary where he is present with us. And yet you don't praise and glorify a structure, a building. Amen. And I believe we have been shown that in the last year as we, and we're blessed. I've seen some buildings that they use to, the church uses to gather in overseas in other countries and underdeveloped countries and so forth. And they don't have what we have. And so we should be thankful for that. But we should, and he says here, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. And so in doing that, then, we reverence him and show him godly fear in doing that. That's one of the things that we are to do here. Now, I'm going to close. I'm going to go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And close, I believe, Psalm 89. Fifth verse of that 89th Psalm. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? That's reverence there. Who can be compared? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. He's greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, but in our lives. And maybe it's me. You know, I don't. There's at least one denomination where they practice confession to another man in that denomination. I tell you what, I confess every Sunday when I come to church to God. We're not told to really confess to one another. We are to bear one another's burdens, and we do. We share things with one another. I used to hold so much in. Have tried to burden you all as well with those things later in life, because we're to do that. We can pray a prayer for somebody. I can pray for Sister Sandra, not knowing if anything at all is needful there, but to pray for anyone. But when we know something is going on in someone's life, then that, I just think that savor is even more sweet smelling to God in that case, when we're praying for someone in that need, even though God already knows it. He already knows it. But in Ezekiel, I believe it's the 12th chapter or 13th chapter, whatever, how many chapters is in there. It's right at the end of that book where it says, "And let this be the conclusion of the whole matter, that we fear God and keep his commandments." Because that's the whole duty of man. That's it. Fear. So there is my scripture for proof of what I'm preaching today, is that's the whole duty of man. That's that empty place in my life where I neglected to revere him as I should. That's my whole duty. It's the whole duty of man there. Fear God and keep his commandments. So there's, and that he is due that. I love that phrase in that verse. He's due that, the glory that he's due to his honor, his power, that we acknowledge him. And we don't glorify him in bestowing glory upon him or giving him glory. We acknowledge his great glory with which he's bestowed upon us in our lives and for eternity. And one day when these bodies, when Jesus Christ comes again and we're raised from the grave incorruptible and changed, even these bodies will be glorified with soul and spirit, redeemed by Jesus Christ. And then we will revere him as we should, as we fail now. My God bless and keep you. This is my prayer. Brother Roger, you want to come lead a song? You will.